Hey guys, what's up? This is William, the opinion Updike of Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm joined, as I am always, by my buddy Charles.
What's up, guys? It's Honest Chuck Mockler today.
Hey, so today is our regular Wednesday segment, which is What Could Have Been Wednesday.
Parallel Universe.
We're going to be talking about a certain greatest, or maybe the second greatest player of all time who could have gone to the Clippers.
So close.
So wait for that. We're also going to talk about some league-wide stuff and then finish up with a bit of Clippers-specific stuff.
Clip specifics? Oh man, I tried to run that together.
Clippy specifics?
Yeah, that works.
And we'll be talking about our guys Gallo, our hot takes on the workout video Shea posted. All that and more coming up right after this.
All right, so first off, not too much NBA stuff, but on the Bill Simmons podcast, Steph Curry was on there and they asked him, which is a great interview, they asked him who the hardest point guards to play against.
Yeah.
And he outlined Chris Paul makes sense, Tony Allen makes sense, and then of course our very own Avery Bradley.
Avery Bradley, yeah, he described him as always kind of giving him a hard time. He said that he was a bulldog, absolute bulldog,
just a regular dog, a bulldog guy,
which I love to hear.
Yeah, it's always nice to hear one of the top three or two, depending on the day, offensive players name one of your guys as a tough defender.
Yeah.
And also on that list, man, I forgot how great Tony Allen is.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was talking about it more specifically in their career, especially like when the Warriors were still in their infancy, you know, like pre the 2014 season, I would
say.
Yeah. Which was the last time they were eliminated from the playoffs.
Tony Allen was a monster during those years, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I think he spent seven seasons there in Memphis. But yeah, he was really at his kind of peak there defensively.
And what I'm hoping for is Avery Bradley. I saw someone did a post about how maybe Avery Bradley is maybe the most overrated, underrated player.
What do you mean?
Like, of the underrated players, he's the most overrated of those players.
Okay.
Which I was kind of confused by, but they broke down some defensive stuff, and his perimeter defense has kind of slacked off a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But I kind of blame that on the Pistons, less so on Avery Bradley.
Yeah.
I think he can return. I think if he has, I mean, obviously with him and Patrick Beverley being next to each other, I think that's going to make both of their defensive stats just jump off the page.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope he can get back to this putting fear in the eyes of Steph Curry.
Yes, I was watching some great Avery Bradley highlights just because.
What'd you notice?
This quote got me really excited. And not only are there some great defensive reels where he's like slapping the ball in the face of Kyle Korver, who's
like
bigger
that.
Than him.
Yeah.
And I mean, Dwayne Wade, smaller, but still. And then I also forgot how good he is at finishing around the rim, like in traffic and stuff. If he's already got the ball in his step, he doesn't have a good handle. I would say like his dribble looks a little shaky.
It's below average.
Yeah. I believe you described it as an old timey,
an oldie time dribble. Yeah. Like when the rules were like, if your hand isn't at perfect 90 degrees and if you go to any side of the ball, you're thrown out of the league.
Yeah,
whatever the
rules. Yeah, it doesn't look like he's really got it on a string. But once he, once he gathers the ball, I mean, he can go through bodies and stuff. He can only finish with the right hand, but he can finish, you know, from either direction.
Yeah.
Underneath, whatever, as long as it's with the right hand.
That seems like such a hard thing to try and learn to do, is to finish with the other hand. If you're already this successful and you've gotten to the NBA,
yeah,
it's like, well, why would I finish with my left?
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're not like
If
you're not the primary scorer or like super ball dominant, I mean, he can obviously handle the ball. But I think that, I mean, I would say that he definitely works better. He works best like off ball, cutting in, spotting up, that kind of stuff. So I would definitely see that as like, you know, maybe not being your primary focus so much as being able to go from being able to score with as little dribbles and ball handling as possible.
Yeah, and we talked about this a little bit before we started recording. When he's at the rim and he's trying to finish, he jumps in the air and looks for contact in the air.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, the mark of people who, A, know really well how to finish, because you're not doing that if you're not confident in your finishing abilities,
mm-hmm.
and B, he wants to get to the line.
Yeah, he's so extremely physical. So I would like to see, I mean, I think that if he could turn that, like, convert that into, like, drawing more fouls while finishing. I mean, I think that would take his would obviously take his field goal percentage up and his shooting numbers up, but I think it would also take him from, you know, possibly the most overrated or the underrated guys to, you know, the most underrated great guy.
There we go. He's also, like, sneaky big frame-wise, too. I kind of forget how stocky of a guy he is. I think of him as, like, rookie Avery Bradley still, where he was, like, still kind of skinny.
Yeah, and I still feel like he doesn't look like his body contains a whole lot of weight, but he strikes me as one of those dudes who is like freak, who is like farm strong for their size.
Yeah, where you're like, oh, you're just picking up bales of hay with no hooks.
Yeah. Yeah, because you like I said when he's like driving in the basket and stuff, he's like bumping around off of people. Yeah. And it doesn't even change his momentum.
It's like Julius Randle, who is a bigger guy, but like Julius Randle can just, he can touch everybody on the court and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Other NBA news, this happened this morning. Manu Ginobili supposedly strongly considering retirement, which, I mean, to me, yeah, you're 41.
Yeah, I mean, like, I could see it.
Go off into the sunset. Don't go to the Hornets or the Hawks or some weird thing like that. Like, just chill, man.
I mean, I don't see the Spurs trading him.
No, I know, but, like, I'm just saying, like, I can't picture him playing in another uniform.
Yeah.
Even more so than Tony Parker, weirdly, for some reason.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, the Tony Parker thing, though, it wasn't like he wanted that trade.
Yeah,
like,
for
he,
sure.
Like, or, yeah, he wanted that.
Which, like, kind of blows my mind. Because I'm like, just stay, man. Like, you're not going to, you're going to
I guess that wasn't even a trade. It was just, he just signed a different contract.
He just signed. Yeah. So it's like, whatever. But, I mean, Spurs fans are obviously pretty upset on Twitter and stuff like that. He's another great Spurs player of, like, that consummate professionalism.
Oh,
where he was just like, yeah, okay, I'll go to the bench.
Yeah.
Whatever you need me to do.
And, you know, it's, I feel like he's teased retirement before, you know, last year at the last Spurs playoff game, they clapped him like at the last as he left the
hurrah
court. So it was unclear if he was going to stay. You know, I don't know. He just still has a lot of really good moments.
And he can, I mean, he's a guy who, he's a spark plug off the bench. He's one of those guys who knows when someone has to kind of grab the game by the neck.
Yeah.
And he's great at that.
And I think, I mean, if you still got it and you're willing to accept that role and grow into the role as your body changes, I mean, I think why not do it as long as you feel comfortable.
For sure.
Yeah.
Also important to note, Manu Ginobili and Tom Brady, same age.
That's so bizarre.
It's unbelievable. I don't know how Tom Brady can still play football at 41.
Yeah.
He's probably suffered tons of concussions we won't ever hear about, but that's besides the point.
Impossible. He drinks enough water.
Exactly. That's pretty much the only real NBA stuff that happened. I can't think of too much other stuff from the last 48 hours or so. So right now, we're going to get into our classic, Parallel Universe, What Could Have Been Wednesdays.
What could have been?
This one is really interesting. So this is one of two instances. I guess, like, no, you know what? I want to set it up like this. The year is 1988.
I'm listening.
Michael Jordan had just won the MVP and the Defensive Player of the Year award. However, his nickname at the time was Money Mike. No championships yet. What are the Bulls going to do?
Oof.
Thankfully, a racist named Donald Sterling offered them two first-round picks, one of which turned out to be the number one pick. So he was offering them basically the number one pick and then, like, let's call it five, I think, for Michael Jordan, the reigning MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. And the Bulls were down for this trade. Like, this thing almost happened. They didn't know. I think the quote I read was, they didn't know if Michael Jordan's playing style was conducive to winning championships. I, like, can't read this without laughing because it's just hindsight,
it's
is so crazy.
So absurd.
The Clippers were offering their two draft choices, which the Bulls were probably going to turn into Rick Smits and Mitch Richmond. And then Chicago also planned on using their own draft choice on Rod Strickland. So, I mean, thinking about it, it's not like the Bulls were getting, like, fleeced.
No.
They were going to have three first-round picks, the top pick, probably the fourth, and then whatever theirs was. And at the time, they were like, let's do this. Like, we might not win championships. The quote I heard was salivating at the opportunity of having these three picks. Then, at the very last minute, Jerry Reinsdorf, who was the owner at the time, based on the decision, just from financial standpoint, was like, I'm putting the kibosh on this. So the only reason that MJ didn't become a Clipper that first time, or the second time, excuse me, was because Reinsdorf was like, we can't lose any money on this.
How would they be losing money? Oh, just because
Jordan wouldn't be on the team anymore.
Just because the amount of people he brought into the stadium. I see.
It blows my mind that back then, even the MVP and DPOY, it was like, we don't know if it's conducive. How could he not have been conducive to winning championships?
It's insane to think. I'm not really sure.
It's almost speechless thing where it's like, how do you sit there and be like, oh, 2 first-round draft picks for the DPOY and that reigning MVP?
I wasn't alive at this point in time. Maybe,
neither was I.
Maybe awards meant less to people.
They must have. And maybe freak athleticism and the potential.
Did people not have TVs? So like they hadn't really seen what he had done?
Yeah, they hadn't seen what he had done. Ultimately, this obviously did not happen. And I believe in the next season, when the Clippers played the Bulls for the first time, I think Jordan dropped 40 or 50 or something like that. But what do you think MJ would have reached the heights that he got to had he gone to the Clippers? The season before this trade, the Clippers had 17 wins, I believe.
I'm going to go ahead and say no.
You're going to go ahead and say no. I'm going to agree with that. I don't think the ownership, I mean, obviously at the time they didn't put together a good squad. They won 17 games. So I think the Clippers maybe would have gotten like one chip out of that.
I was gonna say, of six though, I mean, you'd think they could pull it together for one,
you'd
right?
Think they could get one, but it's hard. I mean, that other team that Chicago had was gonna be pretty tough to match up with too.
What would that mean for MJ though, like just being in a different market?
And at the time, a way bigger market, because the gap from LA and Chicago at the time was even bigger than it is now in terms of market share. I mean, I think he would have probably kept up. I think he would have been one of those guys who, like, you know, was the best player in the league, but just had no one around him.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be kind of, please don't hate me for this, any listeners, it'd be kind of like when LeBron doesn't win or go to the finals, where it's like, well, he could be the MVP every year.
Yeah.
Like, without him, it's obviously the Clippers were a 17-win team or something like that. So I think he would have racked up maybe just as many MVPs and DPOYs that he has now,
mm-hmm.
but just, I don't know, 4 less championships or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I would have believed in the ownership at the time. I mean, the fact that Sterling proposed this trade, I mean, good on him. Like, obviously it was a tasty trade. Like, the Bulls
very almost, tasty trade.
Very, a morsel of a trade, if you will. The Bulls almost did it, but there was just, I have no belief that they would have been able to put a team around him that resembled anything like Pippen or Rodman or Kerr and stuff like that.
No, I don't think so either. What do you think, though? Definitely a bigger market. What do you think that would have done for Jordan's off-court life living
horrible.
In Los Angeles?
I think it would. And at the
I
time,
feel like we have to discuss this now anytime we bring up like a specific
especially
player.
Especially in the late 80s, early 90s, when excess in Los Angeles was maybe at its peak.
Yeah.
I think it would have been a disaster.
It was lawless.
It was lawless. I think it would have been a disaster. I think he still would have crushed, but I think he probably would have had like 4 points less per game just because he would have been having too much fun all the time, dude. We're so close to Vegas. Like those Bulls
I know, that's
teams,
it. That's the other thing. We're so close to Vegas.
Those Bulls teams back then, like Rodman would go to Vegas in between like playoff games in Utah and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so I can't like, and Jordan is, you know, he's a good time having guy. There's stories of like, you know, his like crew and stuff like would fly on the plane that was like behind the Bulls plane, and like those guys were just ludicrous from what I heard. So like I think MJ unleashed, like a young maybe chip on his shoulder MJ unleashed on the Los Angeles nightlife scene, he would have taken it over.
Do you think that makes Jordan's legacy, like, I mean, obviously it would be different without the sheer number of championships.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think that it would give it, I don't know if more longevity is the word, but like maybe a wider spread to the younger generation?
Quicker?
Just by virtue of it being a larger market. Like, you know, a
For
lot
sure.
of people who are much younger than us probably don't remember Jordan really playing at all.
Yeah. And also, I mean, even for me, like I forgot there was that time when he was just Money Mike.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, he just wants the money.
Yeah.
So I think his brand would be smaller now.
Okay.
But I think maybe at the time it would have exploded even more. I think he maybe would have got his own brand earlier,
mm-hmm.
but it wouldn't have the impact that it does now.
Interesting.
And also, I think maybe at some point the Lakers probably would have tried to make a move for Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Based on how he played. Like, I bet I wouldn't have been surprised if this trade would have gone through and then, like, the Clippers traded him for whoever was on the Lakers or something like that. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, if you're the Lakers, there's no way you're passing up on having Michael Jordan at the time. Like, it would have boosted the Clippers' popularity a ton. It would have, the whole history of the Clippers, I mean, obviously the league too, but like the whole history of the Clippers would be the profile. I think it'd be such a maybe more even split between Lakers Clippers fans now.
At least in the modern era.
For sure. Because it just would have been like, well, I was here for the MJ years.
Yeah.
And he was doing all that cocaine and or whatever he was doing. And the LA, man, he'd be in Hollywood. That would have been crazy.
That'd be so nice.
The whole NBA would be drastically different too. Like it's crazy. Like this thing is such a butterfly effect of like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, and he's still, obviously I wasn't alive then, so I can't speak to it, but even then, he still had to be like one of the biggest celebrity figures athlete-wise, right?
Yeah, like, and just, I think, in general.
So yeah, transplanting that to LA, I think, would be just an entire another level.
It would have sent it into like the stratosphere, like merchandise. Also, here's something crazy. If that would have happened, I don't think Sterling would have ever had to sell the team.
Oh.
I think the Clippers would have been so popular and stuff like that, that maybe he would have sold it just by virtue of them being...
By making money.
More money, but I don't think he would have been forced to sell.
He couldn't have been forced to sell.
Couldn't have been forced to sell. Too popular.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, thank God he was forced to sell, obviously. But yeah, and then also the one before that, I think, was a couple years before when the... It was right before the draft, I think. And the Bulls were like, yeah, maybe we'll get rid of this guy. How did the Bulls want to get rid of Michael Jordan so many times?
Unclear.
I feel like he almost succeeded in spite of them. Like,
well, I think it's kind of sticker shock before you're winning the championships and stuff.
Yeah.
That if, you know, at the time, like, he was the first person to hit all these benchmarks, like pay wise.
So quick.
That I think that there is definitely a sticker shock for that, especially mm-hmm. if you're an owner or
because sports whatever. Teams like almost. Obviously didn't make nowhere near the money that they make now.
Yeah.
And he was kind of
in the NBA too. Like the NBA, I feel like that was like a much smaller time for the NBA. And obviously
it was, you know, Bird, he was Magic, but it was like the tail end of that. So it was like they needed this guy to take the torch, and he was making so much more money individually too.
Mm-hmm.
At a young age.
Yeah.
Well, relatively. I mean, now it'd be like, yeah, of course you're 24 and you're in the NBA. You've been in there for 6 years. Like,
yeah.
But back then it was like, he was making so much money so fast that maybe there's some animosity from ownership to be like, how come this one guy is making all this dang money and we don't have chips yet?
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe that was back when he played with a gold chain on too. Gold chain Mike is like a different breed of Michael Jordan. Chain Mike was crazy. Are you happy that trade didn't go through?
I am.
I think I am too, actually. I think the Clippers would maybe be in worse shape than they are now.
Yeah, that'd be hard. I mean, it'd be like the stretch the Lakers just went through.
The train wreck possibilities are just very high
mm-hmm.
for the Clippers, especially at this time
mm-hmm.
and when this trade would have happened.
I also think that it leaves a mark on the franchise in kind of a different way than we have right now. I mean, if you have like a player of that caliber, and it definitely leaves a taste in the mouth for other players to ever come to that team. You know what I mean?
To be like, wow, MJ had 6 MVPs, but never won a chip in the Clip. Wow. Man, that's a pretty good What Could Have Been Wednesday.
Yeah.
I think that's the best one we've had so far. But right now, we can kind of talk about some Clips news. There's a decent amount of stuff. There was that all-rookie survey that the rookies filled out, asking, like, who is going to be rookie of the year, who's going to have the best career. Jerome Robinson, our boy, finished 2nd in terms of who's going to have the best career.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this. The voting seemed a little skewed. Because Luka Doncic has already had a better career than all of these people. He didn't even make the top 3.
Didn't make the top 3. And he also, I think, tied for 2nd or something in the voting for Rookie of the Year.
Well, that remains to be seen. I think Luka Doncic is possibly just going to murder everyone with his playstyle next year. But it's nice to see one of our rookies having the respect of all the other guys who just played college ball with him.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly didn't expect to see Jerome 2nd on that list.
No.
Like, I'm excited to watch him play. I was on the Pass the Rock podcast the other day. I had a bit of a hot take. I think Jerome might have a better rookie year than Shea.
Interesting. Why is that?
I think Shea, he needs to bulk up, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. But I think Jerome has kind of like that, not that mentality of Tatum, where he kind of looks like he already maybe knows what's going on. His play, obviously, I'm not comparing his play to Tatum at all, but his... his expressions when he's playing and stuff like that, he looks like he's reading the game as it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he's not just like, I have to do this and then I have to do this and then I have to do this. He seems to be, he has a pretty good understanding of the game. And I think low key, he might have a little bit better season than Shea.
I think that,
if I'm being honest,
I think, you know, like essentially since we traded for him or whatever, they're like a pick apart or whatever. It does still seem though, like Jerome has, there's like kind of, there's less hype and there's less expectations surrounding him, especially just for the sheer fact that like this guy was kind of a, it seemed like a reach, I think, to a lot of people because he
it surprised everybody.
Yeah. No one had him like this high in the draft boards really.
I don't even think anyone had him in the first round.
Well, I guess not in like the analyst boards and stuff like that, but from my understanding, the reason that they ended up taking him when they did is that there was a lot of interest from other teams looking for a guard that were like right around them after that.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's why they didn't end up like, you know, trading down or anything for picks is because they were while the you know, the writers, while the blog boys might not have had him ranked there, there was some...
But the pod boys knew what was going down.
The pod boys and the teams kind of knew what was up. So, yeah, but I still think that he has a lot less... Yeah, it just seems like there's a lot less hype
and
expectation.
He went to a smaller school. He was a multi-year player. Like, I think he's going to surprise everyone. He seems like a dude who wants to surprise people, too.
I think for him, it's also a win-win situation.
Yeah, who cares? Like, sleep on me all you want. If you sleep on me and I don't do that well, you're still sleeping.
Yeah.
But if you sleep on me and I'm crushing, you're awake. He's ready to bang on people. Got to see a Shea workout vid.
Yeah.
Will just watched it. Give me your immediate thoughts upon seeing the Shea workout vid.
Needs to bulk up.
Skinny guy.
Very skinny guy.
He's playing against like regular looking people.
That's the first time I've seen him like not in a jersey or something.
Oh, and good point.
Like, gotta bulk up.
And it's, you know, it's filmed from like court level base, like you're really close to everyone, but like even the regular dudes he's playing are bigger than him. Like he's playing like, you know, like a dude in like a schlubby t-shirt. Like he looks great, but like he's obviously in very good shape, but like he needs some weight on him.
Mm-hmm.
Like his finishing looked good.
Yeah,
he was finishing with both hands. It was a lot of stuff kind of on the interior.
But shot looks good.
Shot looks really good. He had a step back in there that looked super smooth.
Yeah,
he's one of those guys where like he's so like on court, it doesn't look like he's trying hard at all with his running and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I know the shooting was kind of a concern in his like scouting report just because you didn't really see him shoot a whole lot from the outside while he was a Wildcat.
But I think, do you think that was maybe more Calipari and not him?
I think that was more, I think that was more of a coaching thing than it was, I don't think he's a hesitant shooter or anything, which I think that he was kind of labeled as. I think that he's a confident shooter. It just depends on the system and like how they're using him.
And Kentucky just builds squads around pretty much freak athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
So like in college basketball, if you have five freak athletes, you're probably gonna win.
Yeah.
So they didn't really need him to shoot too much.
Yeah.
But his athleticism looked good. I don't know, I'm excited. I guess I feel the same as before I watched the video. It was hosted on some sketchy Instagram site.
Yeah, it wasn't a Ball Is Life video, which is, you know, what are we doing?
Hey, but it's his first one. He wasn't wearing a hoodie. We'll get to these things.
Yeah.
Kind of major Clipper news, I guess. Gallinari will not be playing for Italy in the FIBA qualifiers. He's got to rest up, and he talked about it with the Clippers and stuff. Like, they had discussions, and they just want him to get in shape for this season. And so I was kind of bummed by this, because at first I thought, well, wouldn't it be a good idea to get in shape for the season playing international basketball? But then, of course, I thought about his last international basketball stint when he...
How did that end? Was that good?
No, someone got swung on. they got slumped by our boy Gallo, and he was... you know, had a terrible season because of it. No, it seems I'm excited about this. It seems like he's really committed to getting in shape before the season.
Side note, how hard are you hitting someone for your hand to break?
I think it's an angle issue.
It's an angle issue. I see.
I think it's an angle issue. I think if you catch someone square and you break your hand, you're punching them as hard as you possibly can.
Yeah.
But I think with his, it was like a weird angle issue.
Okay.
I mean, Blake broke his hand too, punching his buddy, so... We should get those two guys on the pod and have them rehash their punching stories.
Who do you think, who threw a better punch?
Gallo, because it was like heat of the moment. I think Gallo from a pure rage standpoint, because he's in the middle of a Eurobasket game. So like he's not drunk with his buddy. He's like in a very high intensity game.
Yeah.
I think it was Gallo.
All right.
I'll second it. I'll take Gallo over Blake in any competition.
All right.
Except maybe a dunk competition. And a stay healthy competition. Both of those guys lose that one.
Yeah, that's a draw.
But I'm psyched to see he's really committed to coming in shape. You know?
Yeah, I'm still high on Gallo after being MVP of the world.
And Africa. That was different. But yeah, like we've talked about this before. He's got to play at least 30 games for us to sniff the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which is sad to say that someone making $20 million might not play around a third of the season, but that remains to be seen.
Yeah.
He's going to get in great shape.
Did you say 30 games? I think 50 games.
I'm just being realistic. I want 50 games, but yeah. I do not think he will play 50
I do
games.
Not think that we're...
Do you even think he gets half? Really, in your heart, do you think he plays 41 games next year?
This has got to be the year where he plays 41 games.
It has to be the year.
I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm not going to expect 60 from him.
No, not at all. Why would you? He's just a professional athlete who gets paid $20 million a year to play basketball.
But at 40, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, man.
He can't do 41 games.
What are we? We're paying him $20 million. Yeah,
and I don't even know what to do.
He's not movable.
Yeah,
like
I guess we're just stuck at that point.
That's a bit of a quagmire. Maybe he'll become a great locker room guy or something. Last thing before we get out of here, some ex-Clippers news.
All right, what do you got?
Corey Maggette won the Big Three MVP, baby. Congratulations,
hey.
Corey. Way to go, Maggette. Always loved you on the Clippers. Also, news this week. Oh, man, believe it or not, Kobe Bryant will not be playing in the Big Three League. I think that's heartbreaking for Ice Cube. Mostly, got anything else you want to talk about?
No, I don't have anything else except for screw Ice Cube.
Yeah.
You know what? We don't appreciate your comments about the Clippers. Did you see that picture of him on Twitter? Like, it's from some
in
movie.
A full Clippers uniform.
Yeah. So you know what? You're a poser. You're a fake.
You're a poser.
You're not a big three. You're a negative three.
Hey-o. Shots fired all day on the Locked On Clippers podcast. I have been Honest Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys.